was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand.
Welcome back, Resurrection Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Your host, Tom Lacabara Stewart, co-host Lori Anderson, with Gordon Martinez running for Clark County Sheriff. I'm not even going to give you any more wind. I want to hear more from Gordon.
Okay. Well, you've opened up the door, and I'm going to step through it. The feds, every time there is, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, and I study these things pretty heavily, when you got a critical incident, the federal government, although may not have initiated the critical incident, are definitely got their fingers in it, each one of them, and with the idea that, please, do not let a crisis go to waste. So the instances that we're all pretty much aware of, the bombing in Boston, the Sandy Hook shooting, the San Bernardino shooting, the one up there by Burns, Oregon, in the university, and the Orlando shooting, somewhere along the line, if the incident is not initiated or engineered by the federal government has got their fingers in it. And
true.
They will... I'm sorry, say again?
That's true.
Oh, they got their fingers in it, and they will run with it. Just the Mandalay Bay is a perfect example of federal intervention in that incident. We have the resources in our community to handle something like that. That's mm-hmm. not unusual, but what was unusual is that the way they handled this, of course, it was riddled with lies perpetuated mm-hmm. by the federal government, but they had their puppet Lombardo up there, and there he is blubbering like a little girl in front of the camera, and he can't even show at least a strong will leadership for the law enforcement community. And here we have somebody that's falling apart. He's falling apart right in front of the camera, and you can see the feds standing in the back with their arms folded. Yes, yes, that's right, that's right. Keep it up. Well, I used to teach in the police department in service training for years, first responders to critical instances, and they did not handle that properly. And no wonder the feds, either the feds impressed upon the sheriff that they want to get involved in this thing and they want to take this over, or the sheriff requested the feds to do this. But, of course, we're never going to know the truth on this thing because it's so riddled with lies now that anything they say, nobody's going to believe it. The backstory to these things, and even though there is a gag order on all employees of the LVMPD not to communicate with Gordon Martinez, that is a fact.
Because you'll whistleblow on them, Gordon.
Say that again, please.
Because you'll whistleblow on them.
Well, they think I would whistleblow on them. They don't need to. I know my phone's tapped. I know my mm-hmm. computer's tapped. Everything I have is tapped. Hell, I've had my car vandalized. I've gone through six tires. with them being sliced on the inside of the tire, so I don't see the slice. Probability of I take it on the freeway and then it blows out, and then I end up in a traffic collision of some sort. I've had my brake line punctured in three different places on my car, and I'm not the one that's saying this. I take it to a mechanic because I don't have any brakes. All the fluid's drained out. I take it to a mechanic, and he comes back, and he looks as pasty face as my opponent in this race, Tim Bedwell. But Tim Bedwell has a pasty face look on him. Well, this is how this mechanic comes in and says, hey, guess what? It looks like somebody doesn't like you. They punctured your brake line. Well,
Gordon?
What's that?
I think it's because you're doing something right and the corrupt individuals are scared.
They are scared. They are. And I've had my house burglarized. I've had my life threatened numerous times. Even the best friends that I went through the police department with, my best friends and my partner, they've all turned on me. All of them. One of my best friends who was a assistant sheriff, even we met for lunch, and I hadn't seen him in 2 or 3 years. We met for lunch. I'm thinking, hey, great, we can rekindle the friendship. Well, he was sent by the powers to be. And his statement, and I just can't believe, I would never say anything like this. He says, I have to stay friendly with these people or else.
I have two questions for you.
Go ahead.
All right. Earlier when you were speaking about if the federal officers did not respect and abide by your order to leave the county, right?
Well, I'm not saying
then you
leave
would
the
go
county.
To arrest.
Hang on, Laurie. I didn't mean leave the county. I can't. That would be really obnoxious to throw them out of the county, but to cease and desist their actions against the Bundys.
Right. If that were the case, okay.
Yes.
So I'm going back to that situation. If they didn't cease and desist,
right.
Okay, and they still kept coming forth, and it was the 200, like what you're talking about, showed up at the Bundys. Would you, if you needed to, use your deputizing power to the unorganized militia that were there to help arrest and subdue in order to be able to get that situation solved?
I would utilize the militia. I would utilize the old Jeep posse. I would utilize every able-bodied adult male to assist me in that effort.
Okay.
Hold on a second. I'm going to spill off my chair. So this is an actual constitutional law enforcement officer that said he would respond appropriately with the people's right to keep and bear arms and possibly be willing to deputize the who we're all militia, by the way, all of us.
Yeah, the unorganized.
Correct.
Every able-bodied individual. But would be willing to deputize. Could you please just speak on that for a moment? Because you spoke to my heart. You hit a soft spot in me.
Well, this is old law. I mean, it's nothing unusual for the sheriff of a county to deputize people on the spot and able-bodied citizens within a community to assist him in a specific task or in enforcing the law. I would bring back, when I first came here in 1978, I would bring back the Jeep posse. I would bring back the Jeep posse, and there was like about 50 or 60 volunteers that paid for their own Jeeps. The only thing they were supplied were the overhead red lights and the radios that they would have in their cars. And on occasion, they would be used to supplement any type of police activity. That was a great idea. Their vehicles looked like they were black and white, and they had redheads on it, and they were all pretty much all of them were Jeeps, various configurations, and they were good for search and rescue stuff and trying to find somebody out in the desert and because the vehicle was already equipped. And these were all volunteers. And
You're keeping the cost down, too, for the taxpayers.
Oh, absolutely. It was a wonderful idea. It's just like our rehab farm, okay? Now, people, I guess the liberals, thought, well, Clark County can't have a rehab farm. That's like a work camp, like they used to have down there in the South. You know, everybody's got chained together and got a big iron ball they got to drag around, and they're forced to do manual labor. Well, that there could be nothing farther from the truth. Again, it was distorted. Somebody's figured out a way of making some money off of this thing. This rehab farm used to feed the jail. They used to farm vegetables and cattle. Animal husbandry was practiced out there. It was a great deal, and it was right by the sewage plant, so they had all the fertilizer in the world that they could use, and their animals were just, or their animals and their vegetables and everything were top grade. I used to go in the jail, and they used to have platters full of cut vegetables and you know, tomatoes and lettuce and all this other stuff, and you can go in there and just help yourself because there was more than ample amount of food, including meats for the prisoners in the jail. And this was all a voluntary rehab farm. Well, a voluntary farm. Rather than sitting in the cell and rotting away, you put your name on a voluntary list, and finally when an opening comes up, you can go on out there and work the farm, learn a trade, get some fresh air and some great food, and spend your time out there if you have to. But it was all voluntary. There was no forced labor, but they projected it as forced labor. When that
make lemonade out of the lemons, eh?
Boy, I tell you, it was a good idea, and mm-hmm. and all of a sudden somebody came in there and wanted to make some money off of the mm-hmm. taxpayer, and they began catering food to the jail, to the prisoners, catering. So they used to bring them in all the time, and they would bring out the trays, and I would watch them bring out the trays and go into the county jail and feed everybody from these trays. Well, guess who? Well, I don't know who exactly that was that controlled the catering, but you know, you can bet your boots that they gave a kickback to the upper police management. I mean, who else would they need to? And now what we're looking at, and again, I still have my sources inside, and this has been several years, they're going to end up condemning that county jail because it's mm-hmm. falling apart for workmanship, skimming. And again, guess what? They forgot to put in the kitchen for the prisoners. So the food for that jail, for that county jail, is all catered. The skim is on.
And it's catered. It's catered, and I'm willing to bet that it's awful in comparison to what they just.
Oh, I can't even stand this. I couldn't even stand the smell when I'd take a prisoner in. The catering trucks would come in. I couldn't even stand the smell of that food. I couldn't.
Yeah.
It was just despicable.
Right, and it's punishment enough when you're locked up. You're locked up because you're being punished. It doesn't mean you continue to punish individuals. They're already caged like animals.
Your removal from society is supposed to be the punishment.
You know, and we have to work together to make that change. And I'm so thankful, Gordon, for everything that you stand for. I truly mean that.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you. I don't get too much appreciation. All I get is negative stuff. You'll never make it. They'll never let anybody like you in there. You're not going to get the votes. You don't have any money to advertise. I keep hearing this over and over again, and again, they're impressing upon me just to drop out and save everybody all the grief of doing this. Well, I tell you, do I feel like I got a pretty good chance? Yes, I do, especially since my competition are nothing. They don't have any experience, and I've got more experience than all of them put together.
So, well, I certainly would have wanted to see you in charge of that whole Las Vegas shooting investigation. I think that I think that you would have had. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, this is my opinion, and this is from sources within the police department that have secretly contacted me because they wanted to discuss it with me. And like I said, there is a gag order still in effect that nobody in that police department can communicate with me, and they really obey it. Now, I made one or two friends in the 36 years that I've been in that police department, and nobody from at least the outside have contacted me. Nobody, even to the wish me happy birthday. I just turned 67. So
God bless, happy birthday.
Thank you. Nobody has contacted me. So, and anybody that contacts me, of course, I wonder, you know, what side of the fence they're on, but here's the sources. The sources tell me that the Saudi prince was in town, and that's why the feds were involved. They were protecting the Saudi prince from the coup that was going back in Saudi Arabia. Okay, so the feds are here protecting the Saudi prince. You know, they own the top two or three floors of the Mandalay Bay. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yep.
Anyway, that's where our SWAT team was. Our SWAT team were bodyguards for the Saudi prince.
Okay. On location at Mandalay Bay.
Correct. Well, that's according to the sources. Anyway, so that is, allegedly, what did it take the SWAT team to finally arrive at the scene? An hour? Hour and a half? Whatever? Okay, so where were they? I was on the SWAT team. I mean, if we weren't on scene anywhere in the city in 30 minutes, then you got spanked for that, even, you know, coming from home or whatever else. And it takes them over an hour to get there. And then I have never seen a scenario like this. And I invented scenarios within the department to give them training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point, cops, and especially detectives, they think that there isn't a crime that comes down the pipe that they can't solve or they can't properly work. Well, I proved to them that they could, that they needed more and more training, and that is a non-confrontational kidnapping. I mean, that I brought that department down to its knees with this exercise, and it was only like 8 hours long. So anyway, getting back to this thing, the training or the scenario at the Mandalay Bay, and believe me, I trust in all aspects that there were people that were killed and there were people that were injured. There's no two ways about it. But
absolutely,
how it was done, well, that's up for, you know, debate. One shooter doing on this? Nah, forget it. Okay, so
I agree with you there.
Right.
You know, I studied that, Gordon, and they used what was called talking guns. It's a U.S. Marine Corps military tactic. That's why you couldn't find out where the specific one gun was. It's used with six guns, and it makes the exact sound of the Las Vegas shooting. So I would agree with you on that point.
Yeah, Jake Morfonius.
Hang on just a second. The issue I wanted to make sure I got out was that this was, you just got to just follow the procedure. Follow the procedure for an active shooter. Follow the procedure, okay? What's the main goal? The main goal is to neutralize that shooter, right? Okay, so in the middle of this of this scenario, they changed the scenario to a barricaded suspect. Now, I've never seen that happen before. It's either an active shooter or a barricaded suspect or a mobile barricaded suspect, and whatever. But to change it in the middle and nothing dynamic has done anything, the shooter stopped shooting, But we didn't stop him shooting, or did we? Who knows? Anyway, all of a sudden they change it from an active shooter situation in which you get three or four cops, real cops, and they go up there and they neutralize this guy, and you know, so we don't have another Columbine-type situation.
Right.
But that's how an active shooter situation is handled. You get three or four cops. You all know what you got to do, and you're going to go get the bad guy. That's it. Otherwise, there's just going to be more and more casualties from the active shooter. Somebody somebody somewhere said, "Oh, let's change this thing to a barricaded suspect." Well, no shit. I mean, they didn't even neutralize the shooter yet. Okay, and now we're at the barricaded suspect. Well, in a barricaded suspect, it's handled totally different because time is on your side. You just wait him out, right? Well, wait a minute. Who says that this guy can't just start shooting again, or guys could start shooting again just because he stopped? What did he shoot for, 11 minutes or something like that? And then he stopped.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. I mean, this is one big allegedly. Hell, you don't know what the truth is. You don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to refer you, if you get a chance, check out the investigative work by Jake Morfonios of Blackstone Intelligence Network. He was a financial crimes investigator, and he really dug into it. If you get an opportunity. Yeah, good. I mean, really good.
What's his name again?
Jake Morfonios of Blackstone Intelligence Network. I'll send you a link to his material. I highly recommend it, and I think that'll open his eyes too. Yeah,
you know, I like to put out my email for anybody that would like to comment on that.
Sure. As a matter of fact, speaking of a comment, after you give your email, we have a caller on the line, if you don't mind taking a call.
Sure.
And folks, 1-800-313-9443, please call in if you want to. Gordon Martinez is here and can answer some questions for you. What is your email?
My email is, I'll spell it phonetically, Charlie Ocean Paul Edward Robert, COPER, 71@hotmail.com. Anybody can please do chime in and give me your thoughts on this.
Thank you.
And also, Gordon, if you would Carol, let them know where to find you on the internet as far as for your campaign as well, so they can help if they want to help or find out more about you.
Oh, yeah. My website is ClarkCountySheriff2018.com, and all the words are spelled, no spaces, all lowercase. And if you put it in the search there, you could put in Gordon Martinez for Sheriff. The big difference is Martinez is spelled with an S rather than a Z. And I tell everybody the S is for a sheriff. So Martinez,
that's a good one.
Martinez with an S.
All right. Carol. Carol, you're on with Gordon Martinez.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Gordon. Hi, Lori. Thank you for this wonderful program again tonight. I just called in to say, Gordon, that I enjoyed you and appreciated you so much when you had a Saturday afternoon show on RBN. And
I
missed you.
That, huh? American Honor.
Oh,
yeah.
Heavens, yes. In fact, I shared that information with other people around the country. Oh, I'm not, you know, just a friend or two, like this lady in Wisconsin who is so concerned about having a decent sheriff because she's been wronged in her country, in her area there. So anyway, she called into your show a time or two. Her name was Ava. But anyway, what I wanted to say was, by the way, RBN did put in a fine replacement on your show there on Saturday afternoon, but we still missed you. I certainly have missed you. And I called in to say this, that I had heard at the time that you had some kind of a health concern, and I was afraid that maybe you weren't going to be active anymore. So this is exciting now to find out.
Oh, yeah.
Not only are you back in the saddle, but you're running for the most important office in the whole county. And I just applaud you.
I want to thank you for that. And, yes, I am on the mend. Those bone spurs in my heels are just driving me absolutely crazy. And, of course, I'm playing games with the insurance, since the police department, once you retire, they cut you totally loose. They don't give you any options whatsoever. You are on your own. That's
same with our veterans, almost.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I mean, they really fixed us good on that one. So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gordon.
Oh, I don't know if you know this or not, but see, the police department doesn't contribute into Social Security. So even though I'm 67, I did not qualify for Medicare or whatever. I have to pay $500 a month to have Medicare. I mean,
but you should have, the salaries that police get, you should be getting a decent salary in your retirement from them, no?
I have a retirement, but it just doesn't quite make it. Let's just say one of my co-workers, he's got three kids, and his in medical insurance bill is $1,800 a month.
Oh, that's so sick. That is so
sick.
Oh,
it is. I mean, nobody gets a pension that's going to be able to handle that. And now I've got my mother, who is in a memory care facility in Vallejo, California. That's $3,900 a month. And just to add a little more fuel to the fire, I'm not going to receive a salary for this election if I'm elected sheriff. I am diverting my salary to Opportunity Village and also Forgotten Too Soon, which is a veterans organization that tries to combat the suicide rate in our veterans.
Amen to that.
Amen, yeah. God bless you. Gordon, I just want to say one more thing, and then I'll get off you here. I have a sister and a brother-in-law that I love very much. They're in Las Vegas. But they wouldn't be listeners to RBN. They tend more toward Democrat, and they perhaps even like the sheriff that's now in there. But I don't care. I am going to tell them about you, and I'm going to ask them, would you kindly consider this man and vote for a good man who will be there for the people to avoid such things as best he can of what happened on October 1st there in that city. So anyway, God bless you, and I wish you all the success.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carol.
Well, that was nice.
Well, yeah, that is nice. That's...
I haven't had anything positive said to me, at least for 3 or 4 days. So... anyway, I'm going to get off the air right now too, because I'm absolutely exhausted. You guys opened the door on me, and I was only going to do half of the show or an hour's worth, and here I am.
Yeah, I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Just blabbering along, you know. So.
Well, can I ask you one more question, Gordon, before you leave?
Go ahead, Lori.
Okay. And I'm asking you this because I've already asked you this before, but I'm asking you this for the listeners. Mm-hmm. When you become sheriff, are you willing to make sure that there is a class put together where every deputy is required to hear and learn about the Constitution and then implement maybe a test where they take on it so that you know that they have retained that information for each and every one of your deputies?
I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. The fact is, I think it's essential, since I am a constitutional sheriff. The only way for them to adequately understand what I stand for and what I expect of them, that along with, and I've already made them up, is a pocket-sized constitutions that they can carry around in their shirt pocket. Usually the ones that you see are longer, you know, and they don't fit, and you got to fold it and all this other stuff. Well, I had one made up for my run for sheriff on the last term, and this one fits right in your pocket. It's just condensed a little bit more and reshaped. So absolutely, a class like that would be great, and I'd love to use the people that Sheriff Mack uses.
Mm-hmm.
In his class.
Well, thank you, Gordon. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and bless you too. Have a good night.
All right. Too.
Bye-bye.
Folks, you as well.
Lori and I will be right back with you after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That was Gordon Martinez, Clark County
this
Sheriff.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Back, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Tom Lacabara Stewart, with co-host Lori Anderson. And we just had a wonderful interview with Gordon Martinez, who's running for Clark County, Nevada Sheriff. We'll be posting links to his website and the content from tonight's show. We ask that you spread them out all over social media, especially if you are a Nevadan and you know people in Clark County. So, Lori, I believe you had some things you wanted to share.
I do. And it was so wonderful having Gordon on. I really do hope that the message gets out to the people of Nevada. I believe if they actually listen to Gordon and they get his message, because, you know, he brought up the fact about that money. And for some reason, in politics, they always seem to think it's about the money. No, it is about the message. And that's what we have to turn it back to, about the message. And I can tell you that the first time I interviewed Gordon was in 2013, and he has remained consistent the entire time that I have known him, and he is very willing to learn as well, and that is a very rare find. So I really wish him the best of luck, and hope that in 2018 that Gordon Martinez will be the sheriff of Clark County, Nevada. So the next thing that I wanted to bring up, Tom, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Greensboro, North Carolina, the city wanted to cancel a gun show because they were reacting, of course, emotionally to the shooting at Parkland School, of which, might I add, once again, because we're getting tired of hearing about these guns, the police failed to go inside and protect the children, the individuals that had the guns that are supposed to be allegedly the protectors, did not go in. They stood outside as the children were massacred in a kill zone. None of the teachers were armed either. So I want to point that out, the failure of the individuals who are supposed to be the protectors. So Greensboro, of course, is reacting, and the city council wanted to cancel a gun show. It was a knife and gun show, as a matter of fact. So Mayor Nancy Vaughn, she is also pro-gun confiscation, and she advocates gun control. She believes that unlawful legislation that violates the rights of the people, and she's supposed to be protecting to answer to the shootings. So this is what she said. She said, quote, "There's not a lot that we can do, but we don't have to sponsor gun sales in a city-owned building," unquote, she said. Quote, "We are not going to cancel gun sales in the city. They are rightful gun stores, but we don't have to do that in a city-owned building," unquote. Now, I've never heard of a shooting taking place at a gun show and a knife show. Have you?
No. Not only have I not heard of anything like that, I don't think that's ever happened. But besides the point, that she's saying that the people who have an inherent and inalienable right to certain rights that can't be taken from them, can't use the building of which they paid for an activity which is lawful.
Right.
To me, we need to start,
going on the offensive.
People seriously accountable. As a matter of fact, every single person who has their rights infringed upon individually should come together into a class action lawsuit against her.
Absolutely.
And maybe that would handle that problem.
Okay, so the story goes on, and you're going to love this, Tom. Mark Robinson, who is a Greensboro resident, popped in on a city council meeting earlier this week and gave them a piece of his mind over their behavior and their tyranny following the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida.
Oh, I heard this.
Yes, Mike, you could, please play LV3.
You can take the guns away from us all you want to. You all write a law. I follow the law. I'll bring my guns down here. I'll turn them in. But here's what's going to happen. The Crips and the Bloods on the other side of town, they're not going to turn their guns in. They're going to hold on to them. And what's going to happen when you have to send the police down there to go take them? The police can barely enforce the law as it is. What I really came down here for is this. I've heard a whole lot of people in here talking tonight about this group and that group, and domestic violence, and blacks, these minorities and that minority. What I want to know is, when are you all going to start standing up for the majority? And here's who the majority is. I'm the majority. I'm a law-abiding citizen who's never shot anybody, never committed a serious crime, never committed a felony. I've never done anything like that. But it seems like every time we have one of these shootings, nobody wants to put the blame where it goes, which is at the shooter's feet. You want to put it at my feet. You want to turn around and restrict my right constitutional right that's spelled out in black and white. You want to restrict my right to buy a firearm and protect myself from some of the very people you're talking about in here tonight. It's ridiculous. I don't think Rod Serling could come up with a better script. It does not make any sense. The law-abiding citizens of this community and many communities around this country, we're the first ones taxed and the last ones considered and the first ones punished when things like this happens, because our rights are the ones that are being taken away. That's the reason why I came down here today, gun show or no gun show, NRA or no NRA. I'm here to stand up for the law-abiding citizens of this community, because I'm going to tell you that what's going to happen. You can take the guns away from us all you want to. You all write a law, I follow the law, I'll bring my guns down here, I'll turn them in. But here's what's going to happen. The Crips and the Bloods on the other side of town, they're not going to turn their guns in. They're going to hold on to them. And what's going to happen when you have to send the police down there to go take them? The police can barely enforce the law as it is. That's what I see. We demonize the police, criminalize and vilify the police, and we make the criminals into victims. And we're talking about restricting guns? How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that when the police department's already hamstrung? You're not going to be able to go down here and take these guns from these criminals. So the criminals are going to hold on to their guns. They're still going to have them. They're still going to break in my house, and they're still going to shoot me with them. And guess who's going to be the one that suffers? It's going to be me. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, it is not going to happen without a fight. And when I say fight, I don't mean shots fired. I don't mean fist thrown. I mean I'm going to come down here to this city council and raise hell just like these loonies from the left do until you listen to the majority of the people in this city. And I am the majority. The majority of the people in this city are law-abiding, and they follow the law, and they want their constitutional right to be able to bear arms. They want to be able to go to the gun show and buy a hunting rifle or a sport rifle. They're no military-grade weapons sold at the gun show. An AR-15 is not a military-grade weapon. Anybody that would go into combat with an AR-15 is a fool. It's a semi-automatic 22 rifle. You'd be killed in 15 minutes in combat with that thing. So we need to dispel all these myths, and we need to drop all this division that we got going on here. Because the bottom line is, when that Second Amendment was written, whether the framers liked it or not, they wrote it for everybody. And I am everybody. And the law-abiding citizens of this city are everybody. And we want our rights, and we want to keep our rights. And by God, we're going to keep them, come hell or high water.
And that's the way you handle Woo! City council.
From hell or high water.
From hell or high water. Oh, isn't that wonderful? So as you know, Tom, you know, I've been reporting about the civil war that's going on, not with shots fired, but with people standing up all across our union. You know this. There is another teenager standing up now, and it's March for Our Guns rally planned by a 15-year-old in Virginia for May the 19th. Yes, you heard that right. Now there is another one being sprung up from teens. These teens are fighting off the other teens that are calling for the gun confiscation and the violation of our rights out of the Florida situation. This Virginia teen said that he has watched anti-Second Amendment students marched on D.C., funded in large part by money from George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, and others. He believes Gabby Giffords, big time, was behind that, including talking points and what the children should say. So Tim reported on this, Tim Brown from Freedom Outpost, and he says this is his article. A Virginia teen has watched as anti-Second Amendment students marched on D.C., funded in large part by money from George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, and others. He believes, as I do, that there are far more young people who support the God-given right to keep and bear arms than the 200,000 that showed up in D.C. two weekends ago and wants to rally those who do in his state to stand in solidarity for their constitutionally protected rights. Aiden Jackson, 15 years old, told Wavy TV 10, "When I saw the March for Our Lives, I saw a lot of people for gun control. Not every youth believes that. Gun control is not the answer. Already, he's won my approval because he's thinking past emotions and rhetoric. As a freshman at Ocean Lakes High School and member of the Virginia Beach Young Republicans participated in the walkout at his school. However, he used it as an opportunity to engage his fellow students whom he disagreed with by carrying a sign that read, quote, gun control is not the answer, unquote. Someone came up out of the blue, looked at me, read my sign, and ripped my sign, he said. The entire school applauded. So much for those students being concerned with the right to free speech, huh? And David Hogg had what to say about this? Nothing. Despite the someone actually engaging in vandalism and destroying Jackson's property, Jackson was motivated to do something.
Breaking the law.
And so he formed a plan to rally those of like mind on May the 19th, 2018 at Mount Trashmore. That's in Virginia Beach, Virginia, for those who are in that area. Quote, it inspired me because they came up to me and said, I don't necessarily agree with you, but you really are brave to have done, to have gone through that, he said. I think everyone has a say. The next generation, my generation, will be leading. We want to get them involved as soon as we can. That's exactly right, and he's very perceptive to see that. Jackson is not just inviting those who agree with him to his rally to hear why he and others support the Second Amendment, in which I'm sure no one will be ripping opposers' sign and destroying their property in a similar fashion to the young punks that followed the lead of David Hogg and trash stores during their walkout. As we heard, what from Hogg when that occurred? Nothing. I want to invite all the viewers to come along and show their support and really view a different point of the aisle in case you are in support of gun control, he told the outlet. Aiden is not the only person who has been inspired by the anti-Constitution crowd to organize pro-Second Amendment rallies. However, he is the only one I know of that is doing it specifically targeting the youth in his state. David Clayton, a national public relations representative for 3% Republican West Virginia, is using social media to organize patriots and Second Amendment supports across the nation to gather their state capitals on Saturday, April the 14th, 2018, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to stand in solidarity for their God-given right to keep and bear arms. Via the National Constitutional Coalition of Patriotic Americans Facebook page, Clayton has organized times and places for each rally at each state capital in the United States. Through the NCCPA's event page, you can find your state and sign up to attend. See how many people are planning to attend or just show up and give your support. Protests are meant to be an exercise of free speech and in no way is to condone any violence. The organizing of this event that will span several time zones comes even as the Marxists and their useful idiots are planning to storm Washington, D.C. illegally to advance the communist-style gun grab as they attack the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and the rights of hundreds of millions of Americans.
Useful
there's
idiots.
Also, yeah. So there's also a national Shoot for Freedom Day that is being scheduled at local gun ranges around the country for May 19th, 2018, and Tim Brown says he'll have more on that in a future article. In either case, we can guarantee the mainstream media will ignore the support of these events or to attempt to belittle them or to present them as radical as they always do. So, as I have been discussing the Civil War, it is so good to see these youth engaging, Tom, and there, even the, if you remember, there was also a young man that out of the California high school named Brandon Gillespie, and he's staging a pro-life walkout out of the schools because he wanted to see if the hypocrisy was going to be there. Were they going to support him in the same manner that they supported this gun control walkout? Well, he's from Rockland High School, and that is dated April the 11th at 10 a.m. He's asking for the same exact things that the gun control walkout was, 17 minutes in remembrance of all the millions of children who were slain and the lives lost through abortion. So we're going to see how that works out as well. But I wanted to bring up a really interesting fact that has come out, and the situation is, of course, Brazil. It is being reported by the Rebel Media that Brazil is now trying to get their gun rights and abolish their gun-free laws, if you will. And of course, we don't have enough time to play that, but I was checking out Brazil's gun laws. See if any of this sounds so familiar. This was 2010 when this was written, and this is on Brazil.org. So this is not mainstream media. This is an actual Brazil location, and it says
Brazilian location.
It is, and it says guns are a major hot topic in Brazil, with high crime rate, with the use of guns, especially illegal guns, being used to murder. Guns truly need more regulation in this country. It has been estimated that over half of the guns in Brazil are unregistered. This carries implications for higher crime rates and illegal actions. In 2005, a referendum was held to ban gun ownership among civilians, but it failed. Now, let's go down and read a little more. Consequently, Brazil has a number of gun laws to help curb illegal ownership. Guess what the ages are? Some of these laws are shown below. Here's some of the laws, everyone. Generally, it's illegal to expose anyone under the age of 18 years old, sometimes even between the ages of 18 and 21, to a gun or a bomb.
Like it's a virus.
Well, think about this. What are they calling for? The raise of the age here to 18 to 21, right?
Right, right. But treating a gun like a virus and not allowing... Well, I was late, and I want to bring up a point. When I was a very small child, from the time I was young through my teen years, my father and stepfather, both alike, very slowly trained me and taught me responsibility and taught me proper handling. And well, see, if you create a law that prevents you from even exposing a child to a gun until they're 18 years old, then they grow up completely detached from it. This is what the Eric Holder thing is, brainwash people to think about guns in a radically different way. This is indoctrination of youth by fiat.
Yeah. Well, all of this is really familiar. Generally, a person must be 25 years or older before being legally able to register for a gun license to own a gun. Gun registration can be done with federal police or online. All people applying for a gun license in Brazil must pass a background check. There must be a reason why you apply for a gun. It says it is compulsory to pay a registration fee every 3 years to keep this gun license valid. Oh, and the reasons, you have to have a reason, and it has to include or may include hunting animals, do target shooting, or to have for security protection. Civilian with a private gun may not take his or her gun to a church, school, government building, bank, sports playground, or any other public gathering place. A civilian may, however, carry his or her gun in public as long as it is concealed in the line with the granted permit. The state has a special policy on what they do when guns are seized or found. These guns are destroyed. Civilians may not lawfully own fully automatic weapons privately. It is also illegal to own private handguns, pistols, and revolver, except in certain lawful, granted, and approval cases. The law of Brazil states that a truthful record must be kept by firearms dealers. All firearm dealers must be licensed. Gun makers are further required to maintain a record of every firearm that they produce. All manufactured firearms in Brazil must be available to be checked by regulating authorities, of course. Now, all of this is exactly what these children have been calling for. True. And what I found was really, really interesting.
Bunch of little socialistic, communist, useful idiots. And you know what Stalin did? What Lenin had Stalin do? As soon as they came to power, they took all of these disgruntled, useful idiots, and they will become disgruntled if they implement what they're trying to. They line them up against the wall and they shoot them because they become agitative and they're a bother. They killed the same people that put them into power that they used to do all of this. This is just history repeating itself again. It's like I want to bang my head in a wall.
Right. Well, and on the international level, I looked up the murder rates, and the Brazil is number 12
internationally. Yeah, so we want to copy that, right?
And this, of course, is after the gun ban. The gun ban went in 2003. Their murder rate is 33.55 per 100,000 people. America's number 81, according to worldatlas.com, at 5.12 per 100,000 people.
Well, all I can say is that the liberals took control of Chicago. Look what happened. The liberals took control of Detroit. Look what happened. The liberals took control of Camden, New Jersey. Look what happened. And now what they're trying to do is take over all of America with their insane progressive policies that have done absolutely nothing but create devastation, poverty, and death in every one of these communities. It is sickening to me.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And maybe Monday, if we have enough time, I will play a clip for everybody on the report of what the Brazilian citizens are doing to try to regain their right to have arms. But I also wanted to cover, which we don't have time tonight, the information on the YouTube shooter, the female.
Oh, the female liberal, yeah, and.
And you know, they're conveniently leaving out, in a lot of the reporting, they're leaving out that she's an immigrant. They're leaving out about her ideology.
She was also censored by YouTube, by the way.
Yeah, she was censored by YouTube, you know. Apparently, she was pro-First Amendment, It's really interesting what the media keeps hiding about it, and they're silent crickets. Why? Because it's an immigrant, for one. It doesn't fit the narrative. She used a handgun. And with that...
Oh, one more aspect.
She was
to that
a member
case.
Of PETA.
One.
So one why more. Aren't people going after PETA like they're going after other individuals about the NRA? I mean, you know,
right.
I'm just saying.
Well, here's another aspect about it with their 10 rounds or less... She dropped a clip and reloaded, and in a fraction of a second, their whole 10 rounds or less, narrative just evaporated. This is another reason why they're being quiet. Folks, we've run out of time for the night. Tom Lacavera, Stewart, Laurie Anderson, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Join us Monday. We'll see you then. God bless.
As always, everyone, watch your backs, check your facts. Semper Fidelis. Have a wonderful weekend.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.